Chapter 4. When they return to Redcliffe with the ashes, Isolde is gracious to him for perhaps the first time in his life, grateful for her husband's life and her son's. It's odd and unsettling, and Alistair is quick to retreat from it, no matter how glad he is to see Aemon recovering. The last time they were here, he allowed Isolde to assign each of them their own rooms, because it didn't occur to him to do otherwise. This time, after the first bath he's had in weeks, and the most awkward dinner he's had in years, he follows Zephyrin to his room, not caring that Braska's eyebrows climb sharply and that Leliana blinks at him in surprise. What does it matter what they think? As he climbs into bed, Zephyrin says, casually, "They will think us lovers, you know." "So?" Alistair asks, searching him out in the darkness. Then a thought occurs to him, and he hesitates. "Unless it bothers you?" Zephyrin snorts out a laugh. "No, Tesoro, it bothers me not at all." He tugs Alistair closer, pulling his head down to rest on his shoulder. "I was only concerned for your sterling reputation. Mine is sufficiently tarnished that being thought your lover could only improve it." "Besides," Alistair says, draping an arm across Zevran's chest, "anyone who thinks that is an idiot." "How so?" Zephyrin asks, his fingers moving idly through Alistair's hair. Incredulous, Alistair blinks into the darkness, groping for the words to explain something so obvious. Because I don't know anything, and you want someone who knows as much as you do."
"Do I?"
Zephyrin murmurs. His hand comes to a stop, cupping Alistair's cheek, thumb resting just in front of his ear. "Is that what I want?" His tone is hard to interpret, but Alistair eventually decides that he's joking. "Well," he teases, blushing a little, "maybe not someone who knows as much as you, since you probably think that's impossible, but definitely somebody who knows something, which would be anybody except me." When Zephyrin doesn't answer, Alistair adds, exasperated, "I know it's true. You won't hurt my feelings by agreeing." Zephyrin hums acknowledgement, his thumb brushing over the curve of Alistair's ear, down and back up. "Is it a given, then, that I want nothing more than a skilled pair of hands and a talented mouth?" Alistair's heart begins to beat faster. He could let the conversation go, say nothing and risk nothing, but he feels reckless all of a sudden. They leave for Denerim soon enough, with three armies behind them. Whatever happens at the Landsmeet, Ferelden is no longer a lost cause. He's helped do a dozen impossible things in the last year. It isn't too much to hope he might manage another. "Before," he says, then starts over. "After Cainlock Hold." The darkness has weight, pressing down on him, and he hesitates. If he doesn't ask, then he doesn't have to know. He'd rather know. All in a rush, he asks, "Why did you kiss me? Was it just a joke?" Under Alistair's cheek, Zevran's heart is racing. He takes a breath like he might speak, but then he says nothing. "It was, wasn't it?" Alistair says. He knows the answer is yes, but he forges on anyway, daring to hope he isn't misreading everything. "Would it still be one if you kissed me now?" Zephyrin swallows. "I would not wish to presume such a thing would be welcome." There's that same feeling from the night beside Lake Callenhad, his heart beating so fast he's almost ill, even as his skin tingles with a far more pleasant feeling. "You could, you know," Alistair says. His mouth is dry, his palms damp. "Presume." The silence that follows seems to go on for days. When Zephyrin speaks at last, it's in a whisper. "Could I?" he asks. "And what could I presume?" Alistair considers trying to find the words to say any of what's in his head, and decides he's not interested in that level of embarrassment tonight. Easier to roll over onto his back, taking Zevran with him so they're chest to chest. It leaves his hands free to cup Zevran's face gently, exactly the way he held Alistair's all those months ago, to pull his head down and kiss him very carefully. It's difficult to imitate what Zevran did before. Not when it's been so long and Alistair's entire body wants to rush ahead to Zevran naked under his hands and his mouth. He forces himself to go slowly despite that, to treat this like a parry learned on the practice field. He remembers what he was shown. He's certainly thought about it enough. And turn his body the same way. Head thus, hands here, mouth so. No movement at all until he knows he has the form correct. And even then, each move slow and deliberate, tested against his memory of how it should be before trying the next. It ceases to be an exercise when Zevran's mouth opens against his, wiping away all thoughts of anything except this. Alistair tries to keep track of what he's doing, knowing he isn't as good as Zevran. Except it's impossible to think with Zevran's hand squeezing the back of his neck and Zevran's tongue thrusting against his. And the kiss is turning messy, but Zevran isn't pulling away. He's pressing closer. And Alistair wonders dizzily if they could stay like this all night. Apparently not, because Zevran breaks the kiss and rests his forehead against Alistair's. He's breathing hard, and his voice isn't quite steady as he says, "You must tell me how much I can presume." Alistair's words got lost somewhere around the time Zevran's mouth met his, and now he has to scramble for them. While he's doing that, Zevran adds in a low voice, "Else I will presume rather a lot." That doesn't help Alistair at all. His words scatter again, his body hot with need. "Please," he whispers. Zevran mutters something in Antivan that sounds like a curse, his forehead pressing painfully hard against Alistair's. "Tesoro," he says, in the voice of someone holding desperately to control. "Tell me what you want." "You," Alistair answers instantly. "Ah," Zevran says, his smile clearly audible. "Very sweet, but not exactly helpful." "What do you want?" Alistair asks. Zevran starts to laugh as he admits. "Ew." He touches Alistair's cheek, stroking along his jaw and over his lips. "I know 100 ways to make a man beg for release, and I have thought of doing every one of them to you." His fingers drag over Alistair's lips again, and this time Alistair licks them on the way by. Zevran swears softly, his first two fingers easing a little way into Alistair's mouth, and Alistair licks them again, entranced by the way Zevran's breath catches. He's never thought fingers were any more interesting than throats, but they're quite fascinating now. It makes him curious to see what would happen if he did to Zevran's throat what he is currently doing to his fingers. "Tesoro," Zevran says. He takes his fingers back, much to Alistair's disappointment. "Please, tell me what you want before I go too far." "I don't know," Alistair says. "I've never done this, anything, but I want you. I want you to touch me. I want to touch you."
"You touch me all the time," Zevran says. "You touch me. And do you even know how many times I have thought of your hands? You touch me and I want you. And you never know how hard I am, do you?"
As if to demonstrate, he shoves one of his knees between Alistair's so that he's straddling his thigh, hips arching down, and, oh, maker, his cock is hard, even through two layers of cloth, and everything else disappears under a rush of want. Zevran's mouth is on his again, hungry the way Alistair remembers from so many months ago. Only this time, instead of a false promise of more, he has Zevran on top of him, hands on his face to keep control of the kiss, while he drives his cock down against Alistair's hip. His hair is warm, and he makes an appreciative noise when Alistair runs his hands through it, leaning away just long enough to get rid of their shirts before pressing close again. His mouth is against Alistair's neck this time, his breath hot as he bites and licks, and it turns out throats are much more interesting than Alistair thought. A small part of him tries to keep track of what's happening, to remember it for later, but most of him is too busy panicking over how close he is to the edge. They're both still half-dressed, and he's sure he isn't supposed to finish before he's even naked. Attempts to think about less arousing things fall apart when Zevran kisses his way down his chest, and Alistair's heart stutters. Is he really going to? Yes, though not directly at first. He mouths at Alistair's cock through his trousers, breathing warm, moist air through the fabric, and Alistair's hips try to rise off the mattress. Zevran pins him effortlessly and tugs at his laces. And Alistair wants to say something, but he's too busy gasping for air. Then Zevran's fingers are around his cock, stroking up as his mouth closes around the head. And Alistair has time for one strangled, "Zev!" before it's too late. Embarrassment hits him while his head is still spinning, and he puts both hands over his face. "Sorry," he gasps out, not yet back in full control of his mouth.
"For what, Tesoro?"
Zevran asks, sounding amused.
"Did you think all that talk of my skills was nothing but empty air?"
He kisses the inside of Alistair's thigh, lingering for a moment to suck gently on the skin. "Am I not, in fact, as good as I have said I am?" Alistair is still embarrassed, but he laughs a little, recognizing what Zevran is doing, giving him a reason for losing control, an excuse besides a complete lack of experience.
"You don't need me to tell you that."
"Ah, but no one ever tires of hearing their lover praise them," Zevran says, teasing. Maybe someone with more experience would have something poetic to say. All Alistair can do is stroke Zevran's cheek in the darkness and whisper with absolute sincerity,
"You're amazing."
Zevran doesn't say anything, but he turns his face into Alistair's hand, and Alistair can feel his smile. After a while, Alistair asks tentatively,
"What about you? Do you,
He doesn't have any idea how to finish that sentence, so he starts over.
"What do you want?"
"So many things, Tesoro," Zevran says. "So many things. But let us start with a simple one." His weight disappears, the bed creaking as he gets up, and Alistair blinks in surprise.
"Zev?"
"A moment only, I promise," Zevran says. He's just visible in the dim light as he kneels by the fireplace to blow ash from the coals. When they're glowing hot, he lays another log across them, waiting until the fire flares up and the room is suddenly bathed in light.
"Are you cold?" Alistair asks, pushing himself to sit on the edge of the bed.
"Not in the least," Zevran says, rising to his feet. He turns back towards Alistair and steps to the side, so he's no longer backlit, giving Alistair a perfect view as he lets his trousers drop to the floor.
"It's the light I want, so I can see you."
Alistair swallows, unable to speak, though he's in complete agreement. He's seen Zevran's body before, but furtive glances while they're bathing are nothing like this. Now he's allowed to look, to admire every inch of Zevran in the warm glow of the fire, without the need to pretend he's doing anything else. Now he can follow each tattoo with his eyes, admire the way they accentuate the muscles in Zevran's thighs and the arc of his hip bones and the curve of his ribs. Now he can let his gaze linger on Zevran's cock, hard between his legs as he crosses the room, back towards the bed and Alistair. Each step Zevran takes is slow and measured, and Alistair knows it's for his benefit, giving him plenty of time to look as Zevran crosses the room. It's almost overwhelming, all the possibilities open to him. And when Zevran is standing between his knees, Alistair can't do anything but stare for a moment. Zevran's hands pressing gently on his shoulders bring him back to himself, enough that he resists the attempt to push him back onto the bed. He wraps his hand around Zevran's cock instead, stroking carefully, afraid to do something wrong but wanting so badly to touch. The hands on his shoulders tense, fingers digging in, and Alistair looks up to check Zevran's face, worried he's done something wrong. Zevran is smiling, though, and his hands stroke over Alistair's shoulders and up his neck to cup his face, tilting his head back for a kiss. It's an open-mouthed kiss, Zevran's tongue nearly fucking his mouth, and Alistair loses track of what his hand is doing. Zevran pulls away from the kiss abruptly, his hand dropping to Alistair's wrist, and Alistair realizes he's squeezing Zevran's cock in his fist. "I'm sorry," he gasps out, jerking his hand back. Half the blood in his cock rushes up to make his face flush painfully hot, and his shoulders hunch involuntarily. What sort of idiot can't even manage something this simple? "Sorry." "Shh," Zevran says, stroking his cheek. Embarrassed, Alistair tries to duck his head away, but Zevran doesn't let him, catching his face in both hands to force his head up. No kiss this time, just Zevran studying him with a faint smile. Alistair looks away, knowing his face must give away everything he's thinking. "Alistair." Zevran strokes a thumb over his lips and waits until Alistair meets his eyes. "Do not take this badly, Tesoro, but I know that you know very little." A quick kiss to take the sting from the words. "I think no less of you for it. How can you know what you were never taught?" "I want to get it right," Alistair says, his face still flaming. "And did you get it right the first time you picked up a sword?" Zevran smiles and doesn't wait for the answer they both know. "This is no different." "I hope it's a little different," Alistair says, trying to joke. "Aemon's swordmaster liked to yell at me when I got it wrong and make me run laps around the keep." Zevran laughs softly. "I promise there will be no yelling or running of laps, unless such things excite you." His thumb strokes over Alistair's lips again. "And if they do, then there is no shame in it." "Do people find that exciting?" Alistair says, distracted from his embarrassment. "That and more." Zevran leans down to kiss him lightly. "So you see, there is nothing you can try that will send me screaming from the room."
"What about laughing?" Alistair mutters.
"Not that either." He combs the fingers of one hand through Alistair's hair, keeping the other hand cupped around his cheek. "Or rather, I promise not to laugh at you, though I may laugh. If we are not having fun, what would be the point? This need not all be so serious."
It's always seemed very serious, from the few hints Alistair has gotten over the years. But he can hear the laugh in Zevran's voice, and he has to admit, being here with Zevran makes him want to smile when he isn't worrying about making a mistake. Worrying becomes less important when Zevran straddles his lap and wraps an arm around his neck. His lips trail over Alistair's ear, and his free hand guides Alistair's to his cock.
"Like this, Tesoro," he whispers. "Let me show you."
His cock has softened a little, and Alistair feels another flash of embarrassment, remembering why. Zevran doesn't give him time to think about it, his hand curled around Alistair's already stroking and squeezing gently. That it's someone else's cock is new, but Alistair has stroked himself often enough to regain his confidence quickly. Zevran murmuring instructions and encouragement in his ear certainly doesn't hurt, and the feel of his cock growing harder is enough to leave Alistair breathless, the way it grows longer and thicker between his fingers. He gets lost in the rhythm of it, slow, firm strokes along the entire length, working the head with Zevran's hand on his to show him how tightly he can squeeze, how fast he should move. Zevran's hips rock in time with his strokes, ass rubbing over Alistair's cock until he's hard again, wanting more without knowing how to ask. "You said," he begins in a hoarse whisper, then has to stop,
words forgotten when Zevran bites gently at his earlobe.
What did I say?
Zevran prompts, lips moving against Alistair's ear in a way that does nothing to help him gather his wits. Is the best he can manage for a painful moment. And even when he can think of words again, he can't think of anything eloquent.
You said you were going to presume a lot, and, you haven't. Presumed, really. Very much.
Zevran is laughing in his ear, delighted rather than mocking.
My apologies, Tesoro. I was not aware I was failing you so terribly.
He kisses Alistair's jaw, right in front of his ear, very gently.
And what shall I presume, then?
Another kiss in the center of his cheek this time, as soft as the first.
Anything, Alistair says. Everything.
Perhaps not all at once, Zevran says, kissing the corner of his mouth, still smiling.
We must have a starting point.
On the next kiss, his tongue slips out to taste Alistair's bottom lip, but he pulls away when Alistair tries to deepen the kiss.
Oh no, Tesoro. Certain decisions must be made first.
You're laughing at me, Alistair says, not serious.
I am laughing, Zevran corrects, kissing him again. Very different.
His lips brush against Alistair's as he talks. So distracting, Alistair doesn't even bother trying to come up with a response.
Shall I suck your cock again? So soft and slow until you weep?
Alistair chokes on an answer, dizzy and achingly hard.
Or shall I ride you, just like this?
He pauses for another kiss, his hand in Alistair's hair.
Fuck myself on your cock while you stroke me.
It's certainly a riveting image, but Alistair is too aware of how fast it would be over, and the thought of losing control again is mortifying.
I don't, he swallows, trying to hear himself over the blood pounding in his ears.
I don't want, or maybe, I mean, next time?
Or never, Zevran says easily.
He rolls his hips, rubbing his ass against Alistair's cock, and then thrusting his own up into Alistair's fist.
How long could you last, just like this?
Maker, Alistair breathes, a prayer for control rather than a curse. At least the way Zevran moves distracts him from his embarrassment long enough to spit out a full sentence, albeit a short one. That's the problem.
What is?
His hips are still moving in a slow, steady rhythm, making it nearly impossible for Alistair to think.
I wouldn't last, he blurts out, if I fucked you.
Ah, Zevran says. Don't let that concern you, Tesoro.
I can't, Alistair says.
Or it does. He's gotten too tangled up in his embarrassment and the feel of Zevran's ass against his cock, not to mention Zevran's cock hard in his hand. Better to start over.
It does concern me.
To his surprise, Zevran doesn't try to talk him out of it. Instead, he stops moving, and his hand on Alistair's goes from guiding to restraining.
Then let us do something about that.
Alistair eyes him warily, still braced for mockery or some form of persuasion. But Zevran is climbing off his lap and headed for his pack at the foot of the bed.
Lie down,
Zevran says absently, his attention fixed on whatever he's searching for. On your back, please. He provides no other explanation, and after a moment, Alistair does as he was told, stretching out on the bed with his hands behind his head, so he can watch Zevran frown in concentration and then grin triumphantly.
Ha!
Zevran says, looking up to transfer his pleased grin to Alistair, who smiles back. Whatever it was he was searching for, it's small enough to fit in his hand, and Alistair doesn't get a good look at it until Zevran sets it down on the table beside the bed, at which point Alistair's eyes go wide, wondering if Zevran has decided to ignore what he wanted rather than try to persuade him. He doesn't need anyone to tell him what a vial of oil is for, although maybe...
The pieces snap into place, and suddenly the room is too hot again, his skin tingling with the need for something he hadn't even considered he might want before now. Under that, though, is a touch of apprehension. "Does it hurt?" he asks. Thank the maker, Zevran doesn't laugh. Though, there's a momentary tightening at the corner of his eyes, like he had to work to stifle it. Only when done badly, Tesoro. While Alistair is still trying to decide if that's reassuring, Zevran smirks and says, "And when have you ever seen me do anything badly?" Just to tease him, Alistair says, "There was that time with the lock when..." "Yes, yes," Zevran says, waving the words away. "I promise you, my fingers are quite skilled at other things." To prove his point, he strokes Alistair's cock, looking pleased with himself when Alistair thrusts up into his fist. "Am I not?" "Yes," Alistair gasps. He's torn between begging Zevran to stop before he loses control and begging him to continue until that's exactly what happens. He doesn't get a chance to do either. Zevran's hand squeezes once more and releases him, reaching for the vial of oil. Without meaning to, Alistair's eyes follow the movement. He trusts Zevran, but this is also new, and he just doesn't know. "Look at me," Zevran says, tapping his fingers on Alistair's chin, and Alistair blinks, forcing his gaze up to meet Zevran's very serious one. "I will be careful, but you must tell me if I hurt you. This is not the practice field, and pain is not something to be ignored." The implication that Zevran could hurt him by accident should make him more nervous rather than less. But the first words are the ones that settle in his head, that promise to be careful. He nods, if a little jerkily. Zevran places a kiss on the inside of his thigh, then another on the other side, sucking on the skin the way he did before. And as before, it's an effective distraction. Alistair is so focused on the heat of Zevran's mouth that his fingers don't even register at first. It's just another sensation, one of so many new ones that he doesn't tense as Zevran presses one finger inside him. It feels odd, but not unpleasant. Only able to hold his attention briefly before Zevran licks his cock from balls to head and everything else disappears. Maybe he wouldn't like the feel of Zevran's finger sliding into him under other circumstances, but in the present ones, he definitely doesn't mind at all. He minds even less when Zevran's finger brushes against something that sends sparks through his whole body. "What?" is the best he can do. The only answer he gets is a self-satisfied chuckle. More sparks jump all the way to his toes as Zevran repeats whatever he did before, effectively stopping any further questions. As his finger withdraws, his mouth descends, wrapping around Alistair's cock for one stroke before pulling off as he fucks Alistair with his finger again. He alternates between his mouth and his fingers, never both together, and Alistair loses himself in the two sensations. Sometime later, Zevran pulls away completely, and Alistair whines in protest. Blinking his eyes open to see Zevran kneeling between his thighs, fisting his own cock. Oil glistens along the length of it, and the sound of his hand moving is entirely obscene. "Tell me if I should stop," Zevran says. He holds Alistair's gaze, waiting for a nod before sliding his arms under Alistair's knees to lift up his legs. His cock feels twice as thick, pressing against Alistair's ass, as it did in his hand earlier. But it doesn't hurt as Zevran's hips move in small thrusts, pushing his cock deeper with each one. The stretch of it isn't uncomfortable, the way Alistair expected, either. Combined with Zevran's expression and short, sharp breaths, it actually feels good. Better than good. Incredible. Amazing. Zevran pulls out almost all the way, and then presses in again, wrecking Alistair's search for the word to describe what it feels like. Much better to focus on the slow slide of Zevran's cock, the tight grip of his fingers, the way he smiles as he watches Alistair's face. He strokes Alistair's cock once, lightly, and Alistair groans, unable to decide if he wants to thrust up into Zevran's fist or down onto Zevran's cock. Either way, if this is Zevran's idea of a way to make him last longer, it's not working very well. There are those for whom being fucked is enough, Zevran says conversationally. He set a slow, steady rhythm that makes it hard for Alistair to pay attention to what he's saying, even though he tries. But for most, they need, shall we say, something more. Alistair makes what he hopes is an I'm listening noise, rather than an I'm about to die noise. Would this be enough for you then? Zevran asks. Both his hands are back on Alistair's hips, his fingers stroking over the hollows. Or would you need more? Could I fuck you like this until I wanted you to be done? He kisses the inside of Alistair's knee, smiling. How long would it take before you begged? Not long, it turns out, although Alistair is only half aware of what's falling out of his mouth, because it also turns out that Zevran knew exactly what he was doing. Without a hand on his cock, he's stuck right on the edge, always nearly there, wanting it to go on and wanting it to end, everything inside him whining tighter and tighter as Zevran fucks him in long, slow strokes. He clutches at the sheets, at the headboard, at his own hair, each breath ending on a groan, his eyes squeezing shut until tears run down his temples into his hair. Zevran stops. His fingers touch the corner of Alistair's eye, rubbing at the dampness. Shh, Tesoro. Have I hurt you? No. Alistair shakes his head violently. Just please, I need... It's not enough. That would indeed be the point, Zevran says, and Alistair can hear his smile. Are you still concerned with being done too soon? If so, I can continue. All night, if you so desire. Alistair makes a noise that's absolutely not a whimper. Part of him does want to continue, to feel that heat and pressure build long past the point his body would normally have given way, to see if Zevran really can hold him on that edge all night. The rest of him thinks he might go mad if this lasts even a moment longer. Enough? Zevran asks quietly, fingers trailing from the corner of Alistair's eye to his cheek, and Alistair nods. Roll over then. He pulls all the way out, a strange and not entirely pleasant feeling, and leans backwards so Alistair can roll onto his stomach. The mattress wouldn't be Alistair's first choice for something to rub against, but it's better than nothing, and his hips rock without conscious thought. Zevran touches the small of his back, lightly, but Alistair stills his hips anyway, letting Zevran spread his legs wider, waiting as patiently as he can. With his face buried in the mattress, at least he can't say anything embarrassing. It doesn't stop the groan as Zevran's cock pushes into him again, tormenting him with that slow slide. Alistair shudders, fisting the sheets until Zevran is stretched out on top of him, chest to back, hot and heavy and so very right. From this position, he can feel Zevran's heartbeat thudding against his back, can feel his rapid breaths that make a lie out of his bantering tone when he says, "And is that better?" Alistair answers by arching into him, and Zevran laughs, tangling his fingers with Alistair's above both their heads. His strokes start slow, but this time they pick up speed quickly, Zevran's hips grinding down into him and rubbing Alistair's cock against the mattress. He's whispering now, mostly in Antiven, but Alistair hears his name more than once. With his face in the mattress, all he has is sound, but he's had half a year to learn how to read Zevran's voice better than his face. Laughing at first, then reverent, and now desperate, cock driving down into him as their fingers grip tighter. And Alistair muffles his cries in the mattress as he spills across the sheets, shuddering again when Zevran gasps out his name, hips pressing down hard one last time. No way to know how long they lie there afterward, panting and trembling. But eventually Zevran tries to pull away. Alistair makes a noise of protest and tightens his fingers, trying to keep Zevran right where he is. Zevran, of course, has no trouble slipping away.
Give me a moment, he says, and Alistair smiles to himself to hear the breathless quality in his voice. Else we will both be sorry in the morning. It really is only a few moments, and Alistair supposes it's worth it to clean up themselves and the sheets as best they can. As soon as Zevran is back in bed, though, Alistair wraps both arms and a leg around him. Zevran chuckles, but doesn't object, sliding an arm around Alistair's waist as he snuggles closer. Good night, Alistair mumbles, sleep dragging him down fast. Good night, Tesoro, Zevran murmurs, and Alistair falls asleep to an oh-so-familiar hand stroking his back. He wakes a little after dawn and just lies there a while, marveling at what seems like a miracle. Zevran naked and warm against him. They're both half-hard, and Alistair is thinking about what Zevran's cock would taste like when Zevran stirs. Sleep well? Zevran asks. He sounds insufferably smug. All right, Alistair says, feigning indifference. What a pity, Zevran says. His hand snakes down between them to stroke Alistair's cock lightly. If you slept poorly, then perhaps you wish to return to it. I would hate to disturb you with other unimportant matters. Alistair rolls over, pinning Zevran beneath him and straddling his thigh, giving both of them something to rub against. Well, I'm awake now, Alistair says, trying to match Zevran's disinterested tone and failing miserably and not caring at all. So you could tell me about these unimportant matters. I could, Zevran allows, but it could take me quite some time. You know how these things go. All the little details that must be just so. And I know the others would be bereft without our presence at the breakfast table. The words are barely out of his mouth before the door shakes under a hard knock, and Broska yells through the wood, "Joining us for breakfast?" Surprised, Alistair jerks back, and Zevran takes immediate advantage, flipping them over, so that he's now the one on top. While Alistair is still blinking in surprise, Zevran calls a cheerful, "In a moment," to Broska. His tone says this is a morning like any other. But most other mornings, he isn't looking at Alistair with his eyes dark and his mouth curving into a smile that promises Alistair everything he wants. Most mornings also don't involve him leaning down for a kiss. Not even a kiss as light as this one. "In a moment," he repeats against Alistair's mouth, then grins. "Or two. Or three?" Alistair asks, leaning up for another kiss. "Certainly no more than four," Zevran agrees. "It would be entirely self-indulgent to need more than five and six." Alistair shuts him up by kissing him. It turns out to be an entirely self-indulgent morning. The end. The music used in this podfic is Kingdom of Bards by Adrian von Ziegler. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!